I want you to jot this down. You can be around religious people and never have encountered the healing power of God.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Halleck here with Pastor Mark Job at New Life Community Church, wishing you a happy holiday Christmas season. Pastor Mark, what are you excited about this Christmas season?
You know, my family loves Christmas, especially my wife, Dee. I mean, it's a major job at the Job household because I have to start pulling out boxes of decorations and setting up the tree. And she loves it. I'm kind of like the Grinch, a little bit grumpy that I have to do all this extra work. But it's a festive, powerful, fun time, getting together for with family, but never forgetting that the centrality of it all revolves around Jesus.
Yeah, it's a beautiful time for so many, and for many others, a real painful time.
It is.
Difficulties, you remember lost loved ones. Some people feel real lonely at this time. That's why I'm excited about your message here. Christmas Brings Hope, this series. Tell us a little bit about who this message is for and where you're going with it.
Yeah, you know, they tell us, studies and statistics tell us that although Christmas is supposed to be, the holiday season is supposed to be one of the happiest times of the year, for many people, it is actually one of the saddest times of the year where there's greater depression.
Mm. Yeah.
Because people assume I'm supposed to be happy, but
right.
I'm not.
Right.
I'm supposed to be with family, but I'm not. I'm supposed to be with my kids, but I just got a divorce. I'm supposed to be celebrating, but my mother just passed away. And so I think sometimes the holiday season, as we look around to other families and expect this happiness, we realize, hey, I'm not. Life hasn't turned out the way I expected. So this series is really to remind us, hey, in all of it, even in the pain, this may be the most difficult Christmas of your life. But yet, you're going to be reminded through this, God is in the midst of it.
That's beautiful. And that's what this passage is going to do for us, bring us to the hope of Jesus. We're in Luke chapter 13, and it's called This is Healing for the Hurting from our Christmas Brings Hope series. I hope you enjoy it.
Yesterday, I was walking downtown Michigan Avenue with a couple of friends, and what a beautiful night it was. The lights are out. The weather was beautiful. The streets were crowded. The street performers were doing their things. People had shopping bags in their hand. There was excitement there, chatter among the people. It's just a fun time, isn't it? For most people. We look at the holiday seasons and we think, wow, this is a time of gladness, a time of happiness, a time of gift giving, a time of family, friends, rejoicing. The music is playing in the stores, the old Christmas movies, and It's a Wonderful Life, and Miracle on 44th Street, and Rudolph, and Charlie Brown Christmas, and all that fun stuff that happens at Christmas. It's all going. The kids are getting all excited, filling out their Christmas list of what they want. And it seems like for everybody, it's supposed to be this happy, glad, exciting season. And it is. But there's also a dark side. Do you know that during the holiday seasons, there are more people that are depressed and get the holiday blues than almost any other season? Do you know that during the holiday seasons that there are people that drink more than at other times of the year excessively to drown out their sorrows? Do you realize that it's during the holiday season that there is more attempted suicides than any other time of the year? You say, well, why is that? I thought it's supposed to be a happy, great season of joy and merriment. Well, here's the problem. Everything around us is telling us it's supposed to be a happy season. But many of us are living something other than that happy season. And we realize that what is supposed to be is not. And there's a lot of people that are deeply hurting on the inside. Among the jingle bell songs, there are people whose heart is depressed. Dr. Matt Anderson says it this way. He says, the holiday blues, anxiety, even depression affect many people about this time of the year. To some, the remembrance of pleasant childhood memories now are gone forever, in contrast to today's unpleasant realities. Issues such as family strife, unemployment, financial constraints, loneliness from prior losses of loved ones, isolation, unrealized expectations, and even family gatherings with tension from estranged relatives may contribute to sadness and despair. The time of joy, cheer, wonderful family reunions, and enjoyment of deep, meaningful relationships just does not exist for many. There are some people at this time of the year that are going into the first holidays as a divorced individual, and they will not have their children beside them on Christmas Day because they're sharing it with the other spouse. There are some that are going into the holiday season, and it's the first or second year that you're celebrating it without your mother present, or your father who passed away, or a close friend who's no longer there. There are some people that are looking at the holiday seasons, and maybe you remember that these were fun times with children unwrapping gifts, but now your children are far away, and maybe it's a lonely time of the year, and you're not as happy, or there's health issues. And so when everybody is supposed to be happy, when the world is telling us that we're supposed to be happy, but we're hurting on the inside, we're lonely or depressed or hurting on the inside, many of us don't like to show it. Who wants to walk around with a sad face? So we put on the smile, we dress up, we go out there, and we try to hum along with Jingle Bells, but inside, we're hurting. I would venture to say that even this morning, among the crowd that we have passing through these doors today, there will be nearly 1,400 people that will come in and out of this sanctuary during this day through our various services. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that there are people here that are deeply hurting inside, even at this time of the year. How do I know that? Oh, I've been around for a long time. I've prayed for a lot of people. I know that because I prayed for a man with tears in his eyes that said, I'm hurting right now at the previous service. I know that because that's the reality. And so today I want to talk to you. I want to talk to those of you that are hurting on the inside, but maybe smiling on the outside, or trying to smile on the outside. You know, it's incredible how little we like to show that we're hurting, right? How about it? We don't like to, how you doing? Oh, I'm terrible. How you doing? Very few people say that. We want to say, great, how you doing? And sometimes we're like the guy who got in an accident with a pickup truck that was toting a horse. And the insurance company called them 2 months after the accident and said, hey, you filed a claim, and we thought that you said on your report that you were doing fine, and now you're filing a complaint saying that you had a lot of injuries. And so he explained to the insurance guy what happened. He said, well, I was lying there on the street after having this accident with this pickup truck with a horse, and I heard someone walk up to the horse, and a policeman, and they said, how's the horse doing? He says, he's got a broken leg. And I heard him, saw him pull out a gun and shoot the horse in the head. And then he came up to me. And he said, how you doing? Do you have any broken bones? And I said, no, I'm fine. I'm really, sir, I'm fine. And many of us are that way. We hate to admit that we're hurting. We're hurting inside and we're damaged, but we don't want anybody to know because, well, we're just afraid of the consequences. And today I want to talk to you about a woman that was deeply hurting in the midst of a congregation like ours and how she encountered the hand in the presence of Jesus. And it's found in Luke chapter 13. And I'm going to begin reading in verses 10 through 17. As we talk about this woman that was deeply afflicted. And I'm going to ask that you stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Verse 10 says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and he said, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue rulers said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all the opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So today I want to talk to you about what you need to know about how God heals the hurting. I want to first of all to explain to you, describe a little bit the background or scenario for this woman who was bent over for 18 years. The author of the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, was a physician, a medical doctor. He was a follower of Jesus, but also a medical doctor. So he's telling the story of this woman that encounters Jesus. Jesus is speaking in the synagogue, the equivalent to a Jewish, to our church, a Jewish church. And he encounters a woman that's bent over. And the Bible tells us that she's been bent over for 18 years. Now, Luke, who is describing this woman, he uses the word in the Greek asthenia, which means a state of debilitating illness. He also says that she's bent over and could not straighten up at all. The Greek word he uses there is sunkopto, primarily bent forward and stooped, almost to be doubled over. The idea that Luke has given us is that this woman had been in a state of bent overness where she could not straighten up, not look at anybody in the face for 18 years. Now imagine that for a second.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, There is Healing for the Hurting. It's from our brand new series called Christmas Brings Hope. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 13. His message, There is Healing for the Hurting.
I've seen pictures and documentaries of people that have severe curvature of the spine. So much so that they can't walk up straight. Imagine this woman for 18 years walking that way, barely being able to make her way to the synagogue. The children, of course, would laugh and make fun of her, I'm sure, in the neighborhood. As she walked by, the 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds would say, Mommy, what's wrong with her? When she met someone, she would not be able to straighten up and greet them like a person. She would have to, from her stooped-down state, try to greet them. No eye contact. Just the regular responsibilities of cooking and chores and buying her groceries and washing clothes would become extremely difficult for her. She probably avoided social gatherings because no one likes people to stare at them when something is wrong with them. It affected her body, her soul, and her spirit. But she kept going to church. She kept showing up at the synagogue. How old she was, it doesn't tell us, but it seems to imply that somehow this had happened to her when she was a little bit older in life, maybe in her teenage years. She had walked straight at one time. She knew what it meant to look people in the face, to feel normal. But now it had been a long, long time since she had felt normal. Now, some of you can relate to that. It's been a long time that you have felt normal. It may not be physical. It may be spiritual. It may be emotional. And Jesus comes to town. He's speaking in the synagogue. He's an invited rabbi. Rabbi is a teacher. And he happens to be speaking in the synagogue that day. He's not like the other teachers. No, not Jesus. This isn't a service as usual. He's not boringly reading some manuscript. He's not just numbly quoting Old Testament scripture. There seems to be something different about Jesus. When he speaks, he has the attention of people. There's a depth and a compassion about the way he looks at people. He seems to know God himself. He speaks with an authority that gathers the attention. It makes the religious leaders mad. It draws the masses to him. He speaks as someone who knows what it is to suffer pain. He speaks as someone who knows the heart of God. And so people listen in rapt attention as this rabbi, this young rabbi, under 35 years old, begins to speak to them about the ways of God and the things of God. And if you're taking notes today, I want you to jot this down. You can be around religious people and never have encountered the healing power of God. You see, this woman seems to have come to the synagogue week after week and listened to truth, but never experienced the presence of God. I do realize that there's literally thousands of churches that meet every Sunday across this city, and people that show up at religious services. Some of them are small, some of them are large, some of them are in cathedrals with stained glass windows, some of them are little storefront churches, some of them are super loud and long, others are very quiet and short. Some of them are liturgical with the priest, rabbi, or pastor dressing in some stately robes and reading their liturgy. Others are more spontaneous and more informal. Some of them have hymns that they play with an organ. Others have rock band worship music. Some of them meet in cathedrals that have been around for years and years and inspire the worship of the people as they look to the ornate Gothic ceilings. And others meet in a transformed warehouse like us. But the big issue is not where you meet or what style your worship is. The big question is this: is the presence of Jesus there? You see, what makes a difference, what touches people's lives, what transforms people, changes people, saves people's soul, heals people's body, causes them to live different, is not the style of the worship service. It's not the building structure, not the name of the church. What makes a difference is the manifest presence of God. The Bible says that this woman had been coming to the synagogue, it seems like over and over and over, but she had never really experienced God. How many of you know you can be religious and never really know God? You can learn and memorize prayers and never know really how to pray. You can come to a church and never really know how to worship. You can pray to a living God, but never really personally know that living God, because you can be religious without encountering the powerful presence of God. This woman had been to multiple religious services trying to learn the truths that was presented to her, but this Sunday or this Sabbath, something was different. Jesus was present. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 that there will be religion or religious experiences that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Secondly, I want you to understand that you may have lived hurting so long that it actually shapes your whole person. Last week, if you were here, you heard me talk about the body, the soul, and the spirit. and how the body, soul, and spirit are interconnected. They comprise the totality of a human being. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's what happens. You see that oftentimes we neglect other parts of our person because we deal with what we know how to deal with. If you go to a doctor is trained to analyze your physical malfunctions, your diseases. So what a doctor does is he treats your body. A doctor knows very little about your soul and very little about your spirit. But he knows because he's been trained through 8 years of biology and anatomy and pathology and the diagnosis of diseases. And so when he looks at you, he sees a body that needs to be fixed because that's his profession. Your disease may have emerged in your soul. Your problem may be a problem of the spirit, but your doctor only knows the body, so he treats the body. If you go to a psychologist or counselor, what a psychologist or counselor knows is he knows your emotions and your mind. He knows your behavior. And so when you see a psychologist does not recommend medicine for your body because a psychologist hasn't been trained in the medical practices. A psychiatrist has a little bit of the body, a little bit of the spirit, but a psychologist, it's all about your emotions. So you come to a psychologist and say, you know, I had neck pain here and headaches. And he says, well, talk to me about your stress. And let's look at the baggage that you're holding. And let's talk about your family background. Let's analyze this because that's what they know. They know mind and they know emotions and they know behavior because that's what they treat. You go to a religious individual, a pastor or someone that's trained, and they know the spirit. And so they treat the spirit and they pray over people and they deal with the spiritual issues that may trouble you. But the person as a whole, we're dealt with body, soul, and spirit. They all affect one another. You may have a physical disease that started in your spirit, affected your soul, and now is binding your body. You may have a physical ailment that starts in your body, affects your soul, and then pulls your spirit down. Are you tracking with me? Because this is important to understand. The Bible says that this woman was actually bound by a spirit, that the root of her physical disease was a spiritual problem that had caused a physical manifestation in her body. That's what it tells us. Look at the passage. It says, this woman, it tells us in verse 16, Jesus said, should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years. He refers to Satan as the person that bound her. Now, it's really important to understand this because sometimes our hurt comes in our spirit, our soul, or body. And when God begins to heal us, he heals our spirit, our soul, and our body. Now, hear me well. Hear me what I'm not saying. I am not saying that every cough that you have is a demon. I'm not going to take cough syrup. I'm just going to cast devils out of me. No. You didn't hear that here. I'm not saying that every illness that you have is because something spiritual is going on there. But I am saying that we are all affected body, soul, and spirit. For example, I may have resentment towards an ex-spouse who has taken me to divorce court, sued me for everything that I have, has custody of my children, and has lambasted my name, torn me apart, and my soul is full of anger at what they've done and how they've treated me and how they've behaved towards me. So I am, my mind keeps rehearsing how much damage they did, how much hurt they brought to me. So my mind is full of anger and resentment and unforgiveness. So I go into depression because I just keep thinking about what they did to me. And I'm angry in my soul. But because I'm unforgiving and angry in my soul, it affects my spirit.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago. And this was the first half of his message called There is Healing for the Hurting. It's from our series called Christmas Brings Hope. Join us on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. Join the 6,500-plus people who have gotten their messages right from their listening device. There you will also find some great messages and a Bible app to help you with your spiritual walk. Also, we invite you to visit us this Christmas season at one of our New Life locations. We have 27 life-giving churches. Log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. You can find the times and the places that we meet, and we would love to meet you. Please tell them that you heard about New Life through the Straight Talk program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk as we continue our Jesus, the Story Behind Christmas series. Have a great evening. God bless.